Be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes to save you. Friends, we can't hear these wonderful words of encouragement from the prophet Isaiah enough. Over and over, we'd do well to hear these words. God comes to save every single one of you because he loves you unconditionally and infinitely, and he wants to spend eternity with you. No matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've done it, he still comes to save you. He's not going to stop. As long as you're breathing, he's going to come to save you. And he comes in a great many ways, but first and foremost, in the sacraments, and most especially in the Eucharist. Indeed, through him, the blind can see, the deaf can hear, the lame leap like stags, and the tongues of the mute sing. Springs of water burst forth from the burning, thirsty ground in the desert. In short, he makes the impossible possible. So be not afraid. This God of ours, trust in him, because he loves you more than you can ever imagine. Today's gospel passage gives a touching and beautiful example of God exhibiting this love. He's seeking out one of the least ones. Imagine how terrible it would be if you were deaf and couldn't hardly speak. Imagine what that would be like. You'd be shunned and made fun of. You'd be an outcast. Plus, back in Christ's day, people would immediately assume that this happened because you and or your parents were terrible sinners. And they'd see you as kind of a deplorable. That's why this happened, because of some kind of terrible sin. You're being punished. Now, imagine having the opportunity to meet with Jesus of Nazareth, who happens to be in your town. This man must have been absolutely thrilled. Just imagine, he finally has an opportunity. He's been shunned all his life, and he even has a couple friends. I guess he has a couple, because they said they brought him to Jesus. Boy, he must have been elated. Finally, he has a chance to be normal, to be human, to be loved and respected, to enjoy some of the simple pleasures of life, like talking. And notice the very intimate, tender approach of Jesus to this man. He pulls him aside from all of the noise and the crowd that has kept this man away from amazing grace, and he has no qualms about touching the man's ears and his tongue. Now, this man very clearly would have been considered unclean. Nobody would have wanted to touch him, because by Jewish law, then you're unclean. Jesus, no hesitation. No hesitation whatsoever. And then miraculously and beautifully, the man is fully healed. Not just physically, body, soul, and mind, all healed, all completely reconciled with Jesus. What a marvelous moment. But guess what? Jesus wants to share his very same love very intimately and tenderly with you too. This isn't just a historical artifact. He wants it to happen for all of us. Think spiritual healing though. That's really important. We always want to see dramatic physical healings. We want to see people walking on water, right? We want to see people with cancer miraculously healed and never comes back. People with problems with their arms or legs suddenly healed. That's the kind of stuff we kind of want to see, right? But the truth is that this happens. It does happen, but it's rather rare. However, Christ always heals us every single time spiritually when we ask him to. Whether or not he's going to put hair back on my head, I don't know. Whether my knee's going to work like it used to, I don't know. But he heals us spiritually every single time, saving us from the slavery to sin and the death that sin brings about. Every time he does that. And this happens primarily and most abundantly in, you guessed, the sacraments. Of course, it all starts in baptism. That's our introduction into this beautiful life of Jesus, into his passion, death, and resurrection. All those graces made available to us, first and foremost in baptism. Then, of course, the Eucharist, repeated celebration of the Eucharist. But especially in a very unique way in the sacraments of confession and anointing of the sick, which those two sacraments are considered the sacraments of healing. If you look at the Catechism of the Catholic Church, those are the two you're going to find. Now, the Eucharist obviously provides healing. So does baptism. They're just classified that way. And we can see seedlings of them in the Gospel passage today, both those sacraments. So with respect to confession, notice how Jesus pulls this guy aside one-on-one. Just like in the confessional, this beautiful intimacy with our Lord. There's such tenderness of the Lord's love. Time and time again, he exhibits that in the confessional. The quiet. He pulls him away so the man can focus on Jesus, not on these other things. So the man can hear him. He has the capability to hear him now, right? And but because of the healing that takes place. And tons of healing takes place in the confessional. I'll talk more about that on a personal level here in a minute. But there's also similarities to anointing of the sick. It's not always a one-on-one encounter, but oftentimes it is. Somebody is in their on their deathbed, literally in the hospital, and nobody there to be with them. The priest comes, anoints that person. Sometimes people will make an appointment and come into the office. There's all kinds of different contexts. But there's also the touch, the beautiful touch of Jesus. There's the touch of Jesus through the priest in the anointing of the sick. There's also the oils. Christ uses saliva here, not oil, but in a way he kind of anoints the guy. And so we might say it's kind of a combination, confession and anointing of the sick. That happens sometimes too, by the way, all in one. So beautiful seedlings that Christ is planting there in the gospel. Friends, we all have spiritual blindness and deafness, every single one of us. And our hearts are all thirsting like parched desert sand for God's love. You may not realize it, but every single one of our hearts is thirsting for him, burning for him. And yet, unlike this deaf and mute man that we meet today, you have almost unlimited access to Jesus. The question is, are you taking advantage of it? Are you taking advantage of it? It took me over 30 years to get my act together and take full advantage of it, but once I made that choice, God's grace brought about amazing transformation, and almost immediately. He didn't waste any time like I did for so long. I started going to confession every 2 weeks, and this was enormously important in opening up my eyes and my ears to the truth, capital T truth here, and helping me to let go of the things in my life and some of the relationships in my life that were holding me back from embracing the truth, walking with God, and flourishing in his love. Yeah, confession, that's why you hear me talk about it so often, because it was such a revolutionary experience for me, and I've seen it happen with so many other people. So amidst this process, I quickly came to appreciate Mass for the great gift that it is, indeed the ultimate gift that it is. And I started to look forward to it as the greatest event of the week. It was the pinnacle. If there was one thing I wasn't going to miss all week, it was going to be Mass. Just and it's never stopped. It still is the highlight of my week, the Sunday Mass. So beautiful, so wonderful. I got involved in a bunch of different ministries, the lector, extraordinary minister of the Eucharist, ministries in the parish, and it all centered around the Eucharist. Started going to Adoration Weekly and many other events that I was, or many other ministries and things that I was tending to. All of this was very life-changing, as you might suspect, and it truly inspired a radical and marvelous change within me. I'm a priest now, right? So left everything behind, and here I am standing before you as a priest of Jesus Christ. Yet, I'm not finished, not at all. I'm not a finished product. I'm still on the journey, just like you are, and will still need healing every single day of my life. Now, I also present to you a much better and more dramatic example, a testimony that comes from the great St. Augustine and his spiritual classic, The Confessions. Many of you may have dabbled in The Confessions. This is his beautiful autobiography. And this is a man who actively resisted God's grace for decades. He knew God was after him. His mother, St. Monica, is a saint, and she kept following him and praying for him. He left. He grew up in North Africa. He tried to go over to Rome to kind of lose his mom for a while. Guess who goes across the Mediterranean? Then he tries to go up to Milan. Well, guess who pops up in Milan? Here's St. Monica praying for him. So many tears. She made friends with the bishops too, and then kind of linked Augustine with the bishops. And the great St. Ambrose, he's also a doctor of the church, is the one that baptized St. Augustine in Milan. But here's Augustine resisting this for decades, choosing instead to use his wonderful God-given talents. And he had many, many talents. He's one of the great masters of the Latin language. He's up there with Cicero and, you know, some of the greats in terms of his rhetorical talents. But he used them for unholy purposes and to seek out other gods. He refused to welcome the one true God. But he was never truly happy, and he knew it. As we see in perhaps his most famous line, so he's speaking to God here, "You have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." So in his early 30s, kind of like me, grace finally won out and God broke through. And Augustine became one of the greatest saints ever. Most of our theology, most of what we see in the liturgy is based on the foundation of this guy who was such a terrible sinner. But then look what God did with him. Look what God's grace is capable of doing. And here's Augustine's own account. These are his own words here now of that amazing moment, his conversion that changed the world forever. And you can feel the conversion happening in his heart. Listen to what he has to say. "Late have I loved you, O beauty ever ancient, ever new. Late have I loved you. You were within me, but I was outside, and it was there that I searched for you. In my unloveliness, I plunged into the lovely things which you created. You were with me, but I was not with you. Created things kept me from you, yet if they had not been in you, they would not have been at all. You called, you shouted, and you broke through my deafness. You flashed, you shone, and you dispelled my blindness. You breathed your fragrance on me. I drew in breath, and now I pant for you. You touched me, and I burned for your peace." Really amazing stuff, isn't it? Obviously, friends, God wants to heal us, and clearly we need it. Why then is it so hard for us to accept God's merciful love? We have to look no further than today's second reading. St. James gives us the answer. What holds us back? It's pride. It's pride. And the solution, of course, is humility. God chooses the humble of the world, not the proud and the haughty, to become rich in faith and heirs in the kingdom. The more you grow in humility, the more you will recognize how much you need Him and how badly He thirsts for you, every single one of you. Then you will increasingly embrace ongoing conversion and transformation. You'll welcome it. You'll want to grow closer to God. Then you will run to God instead of avoiding Him, instead of running away when He's calling you. And you will increasingly come to understand who you really are, the beautiful child of God you were created to be. And you'll understand more and more who He really is. He's not some kind of evil ogre or overlord, not some kind of jerk, not at all. Humility, at the core, what it really means is seeing things as they really are. Seeing things with God's eyes and not with mere human eyes that are so easily distorted. So, brothers and sisters, be strong. Fear not. Don't wallow in the darkness of your fears, your anxieties, and your sins. Instead, welcome our God who comes to set you free from all of this, from your blindness, your deafness, your weakness, your struggles, and your woundedness. Then you will come to realize and embrace who you truly are instead of who the world says you are, who the world says you should be. You're not a mere cog in the wheels of the world. No, no. You are a beloved child of God. You are precious in His eyes. You're precious to Him. Therefore, allow Christ to pull you aside from the noise and the chaos of this world and from the people who are preventing you from growing closer to Him. He wants to set you on a new and wonderful path, indeed the only path where you will experience the peace and joy beyond all understanding as you enjoy true freedom and flourishing. All you need to do is say yes. Christ is waiting. What will your answer be?